So thank you for inviting me, and sorry for speaking in a kind of mid-European English or East European English. I was invited to talk about the Museums Quarter in Vienna, which is one of the largest cultural areas in the world, around 60,000 square meter. And in preparing this lecture, I remembered that I was more or less involved from the beginning on. And so I can tell you a story which is probably quite similar to other big cultural interventions in the world, like the Sydney Opera or the 10 years of planning and construction and discussion of the Museum Mönchengladbach. It's the role of politics, mass media and architecture and their different positions. So for me, cultural buildings are always in this triangle of architecture, politics and public, and especially in Europe, more and more from the mass media. So for every one of you, it's clear Vienna is well known as a city of culture. But after World War II, the city stages, the State Opera, the Burgtheater, and all the other theaters were repaired, renovated, and started again with their programs. Because the main culture in Vienna is still the theater, I think there is no other capital in Europe where some crazy sentences by the director of the Burgtheater is on the front page of the newspaper. Fine art in Austria and Vienna is a different thing and have not so important respect because we still had from the monarchy the great court museums inherited by from the monarchy, the Arts Historical Museum and the Natural Historical Museum, and we have also the Austrian Gallery in the Belvedere and some private art associations like the Secession and the Künstlerhaus. So that's why I started with this picture. Is the only initiative by the government after the Second World War for the fine arts was the Museum of the 20th Century, so-called Museum of the 20th Century, opened in 1962. The building you see in the up. The building for this was the Austrian Pavilion of the 1958 World Exhibition in Brussels, which was dismantled and rebuilt in Vienna as a museum. Its founding director, Werner Hofmann, built the collection of modernism and contemporaries, but it was thought as a provisional from the beginning, but it lasts till now. Every provisional building in Vienna comes in a few years under heritage. There's a quite common sentence in Vienna, nothing lasts longer than a provisional. But there was something changed at the end of the 70s. A contact was made with a great German collector couple of art, Irene and Peter Ludwig, who first handed over loans to the Museum of the 20th Century, which ultimately then resulted in the foundation of the Austrian Ludwig Foundation. The Baroque Palais Liechtenstein was rented for its purpose, so since 1991, the title of Museum of Modern Art was added with Museum Foundation Ludwig. The policy recognized in this time, so at the beginning of the late 70s, beginning of the 80s, there were still sleeping directors of the big museums from the 50s, but the art world was changing, the tourism was changing. So the policy recognized at the time that this unplanned wild growth of collections and museums needed a solution. Several reform groups began to work on the restructuring of the federal museums. The 1980s were intended for this purpose. During this time, the site of the Vienna Trade Fair came into discussion. It was situated in the center of Vienna. It was built in the beginning of 18th century by Johann Bernhard Fischer von Erlach, one of the famous Baroque architects, and erected for the Emperor Charles VI. And this was Fischer von Erlach's ideal plan for the Kurt stables opposite of the Hofburg, as every main building in Vienna remained unfinished. And this was how it looks like at the end, at the turn of the 19th century to the 20th century, so before the First World War. What is important, and you should keep in mind, that from the Baroque time is only this part of the building. All the other things were added in the 19th century, especially here in the middle, the horse riding school, which was in architectural history terms, not of this part, not one of this part was really interesting and worth to keep. So, but it was more or less the reason for the upcoming discussions. That was the situation in the 70s. So the Vienna Fair added some halls here in the middle, but at the end it was more or less in this condition. So, but now it's an interesting question: why did politics discover this urban development in the center of the city? It's because of a rumor. It was announced that the lease contract of the Viennese Fair, the site himself was owned by the Republic, would be phased out. This rumor was never denied by the Viennese Fair, so at the end, the leasing contract had at least to be replaced by payment of 20 million euro in 1993. So there was still quiet and waiting what the decision of the Republic will be. The first idea for a new use was a large inner city shopping mall. But soon the idea of a cultural use prevailed. This was perfectly suitable for the parallel discussions on the reorganization of the Federal Museums. And it starts with a scandal. Two people were called to prepare an architectural competition for a museum's use at the Messepalast on behalf of the Ministry of Building. And it's interesting which kind of people were called. The one on the right side was in this time the publisher of the most important Austrian Yellow Press newspaper, the Kronenzeitung. It's in a relation to the amount of people in Austria, it's the highest flow of Yellow Press newspaper in Europe. So there's a sentence that the Kronenzeitung is doing the policy in Austria and the politicians followed her. Hans Dichern, and he was also a private art collector and had also a private art gallery and collected especially Jugendstil things. And on the left side, the gallerist, John Seiler, and interesting was the different fee they got for this concept for an architectural competition. For the publisher was, in this time, 2 million euros, and for the art dealer and gallerist on the left, 200,000 euros. And the minister is in the middle. But this minister, because of this, not only this, he had a lot of corruption problems, had to resign, and his successor dissolved the treaties. But Hans Dichern, you have to keep in mind till the end of the project, because he will follow us. So another group of experts worked on so-called museum's concept, but didn't find a successful end, but something had to be done. So in 1986, I have here, and that's from the beginning of the 90s, the so-called museums debate. You see a lot of cultural institutions around the center of Vienna, and there was a real growing boom of new venues, new square meter for exhibition spaces, etc. Not all of them was realized. So in 86, started a two-stage anonymous architectural competition and was launched by another minister without any clear program and concept. It was open for all Austrian architects, accompanied by a selection of international architects, and it's interesting looking from now back which were the important international architects in 86. So Günter Behnisch from Germany, Oswald Ungers from Britain, Alain Colcorn and John Miller from Italy, Gino Valle and Francesco Venezia, Fumihiko Maki from Japan, Edward Raumnicker from Slovenia, Alvaro Cesar from Portugal, Gunnar Mattsson from Sweden, Aurelio Galfetti from Switzerland, and the young Herzog Dömerow, and Rafael Moneo from Spain, and Jiří Suchomel from Stavo Project from Czech Republic in this time, and István Janáky from IPATERF, it was the biggest Hungarian architect's office. And the international judges for this competition were the Swiss architect Ernst Giesel and Jim Sterling from Great Britain. A nice story is that instead of a clear program of institutions and functions for the project, the call for tenders was a wish list of cultural institutions which could be selected by the participating architect. So they had the possibility to make a proposal for exhibition center for contemporary big temporary exhibitions, exhibitions for art of the 20th century, art of the 19th century, and they can also choose an museum of antiques because it's an extension from the art history museum, and an anthropological and prehistoric collection of the natural history museum. A Wotruba Museum, Fritz Wotruba was one of the famous sculptors of the 20th century in Austria, and first in this time in 86, the collection Leopold was announced. But they could add to these functions in their proposal for the project a museum of culture and a movie museum, and also an architecture museum in this time, and a tobacco museum, which was already existing on site, and institutes for the city of Vienna and some other things. So nevertheless, 88 projects arrived. Here is Leopold. I forgot him to show you. Going back to this. Seven architects for... there was some nice decisions from Jim Sterling in this competition, but that's not so important. Seven architects were selected for the second stage, but then the project rests. Minister changed, a new debate on the possible uses continues. There was an agreement, more or less, for the Museum of Modern Art, but all other uses are under discussions, especially the Hofmuseum, the Natural History and Art History Museum wants to realize expansions areas on the side. So in 1989, a new minister again was coming, Erhard Busek, and he started again the project for the Museumspalast. He becoming the responsible minister for science and culture in this time, in 89. I knew him before, and we randomly met on the street, and Busek asked me how to proceed with the Messepalast. And he said, I have already a draft from a prominent Viennese architect on the desk who had been knocked out at the first competition. Should we do this? And I said, no. The second phase of the competition is still missing. So we started to make a program for the second phase of the competition. I called a Viennese art historian, Dieter Bogner, to be accompanied in developing the program, and but the minister gave the direction. Now look for contemporary culture programs on this site, for this site. No extension of the federal museums on this new site. They have such huge buildings, they should solve their problems on their venues. So, first, what we should realize is a kind of, is the museum modern art and a kind of exhibition hall for this in the 80s upcoming big art and art history and history exhibitions. You remember Hans Holland's big exhibition on dream and reality, and which was also in Paris and in Vienna and others. And then we thought about a special museum of cultural history of Viennese modernism to include in this museum the Leopold collection and some other things from other museums. So it's time to explain the Leopold collection. Rudolf Leopold is here on the left. A Viennese eye doctor, began to collect art in the 50s, especially Egon Schiele, which were largely unknown at that time in the international art market, also in the local reception in Vienna. He built an art collection of over 5,000 works, and in the 80s, he called for recognition of his art historical performance by the Republic. Leopold demanded the purchase by the government of his collection. The construction and developing of a museum for himself and his collection paid by the Republic, and he as director of Lifetime for this museum. This deal hovered all over the years on the conception of the museum's quarter. His demand was strongly supported by the Kronenzeitung and his publisher Hans Dichernd, who hoped thereby to appreciate his own Art Nouveau collection. So in 1994, the collection was bought by the Republic and the Austrian National Bank by 160 million euros, and all claims of Rudolf Leopold become fulfilled. So it's now the Leopold Foundation, and he became lifetime director and died some years before. So back to the Messepalast. In the course of the development of the competition for the second stage of the competition, the term museum's quarter was born, which demanded a substantial change in the urban and architectural conception. It was no longer one great museum's multifunctional museums complex where you can fill in whatever you want, but the urban development of the district became more important. So in the autumn of 1989, the tender for the second phase was held. In the preparatory meeting with the seven architects, a conflict with the Austrian Federal Monuments Office occurs, which could not clearly decide which parts of the existing buildings on site are to be preserved and which are not. So the director of the Monuments Office said in this meeting, under heritage is all before 1918. So we asked him, why 1918? What kind of important art historical data is this? And he said, end of monarchy. So all should be solved from the monarchy, and what's coming later could be destroyed. So in spring 1990, where there was submission and decision about the second phase of the museum's quarter. It's also a nice detail. There were seven architects. For some of them, their names are not important because in this time, in the late 80s or 70s, 80s, it was very common in Austria that students are doing big competitions and got the stamp by a licensed architect. So three of these seven project, or four of these seven projects were not done by the authors because of it was student projects. So one of them was Ortner and Ortner, and the others Oswald Ungers, and Hans Holland was in this group of the seven architect, but 2 weeks before the finish, he asked to extend the date, and the other architects didn't agree with this, so he couldn't finish his entry in time. So at the end, Orton and Ortner won the competition. In reading the new urban concept in the program, they decided in making a total new project, in difference to the first one, not big forms anymore, but an ensemble of different buildings for different uses. So let's have a look at it. That was Ortner's proposal for the first phase of the competition. You see, they keep the historic part here. It uses the field before for two single buildings, and the whole courtyard is covered with one big building. That was the first phase of the competition, and then they changed to this composition in the second phase. So they have their proposal here was here the Museum of Modern Art, here the kind of exhibitions hall and event space, and this and. Then in this phase was the Leopold Museum, this small one here. This was a kind of media tower. And this column here was a kind of contemporary art library, open space library. And here's some other facilities. It's not important now which kind of facilities are here in this proposal of the second phase, because from now on, I think every 3 months the project completely changed. So, in case of the discussions about it. So that was just to remind you the first situation after the competition. But what's important was for the urban situation where they picked up two directions, the one from the Imperial Museums and this one from this bourgeois quarter behind the museum's quarter. Because it was an idea from the city planning also to bring all the tourists which are passing here by and then entering the museum's quarter, going up here to this quarter, there's a lot of restaurants, and not going back to the inner city of Vienna. So, and that is why they introduced here these two directions and switched it here in the middle of the museum's quarter to give a kind of understanding of this urban fabric. So that were the presentation of the big model at the beginning. That's myself. That's the former mayor of Vienna. That's Manfred Ortner from the architect. That's the minister Buzek and the chancellor of this time, Franitzky, and again myself, I found. So, but so as you have seen in the project, the museum's quarter, the buildings should be integrated in the existing urban development matrix. The project by Ortner and Ortner comprises the new Kunsthalle Wien, the Museum of Modern Art, and a multipurpose hall of events. And as a landmark, this 67-meter high reading tower, which was planned for the main courtyard. So to the left and right were the two adjoining courtyards, the one to the west intended for the Leopold collection, the one to the east for a media center. So in June, some month after the decision, a special museum quarter development and operation company was founded, in which the Republic of Austria has a 75% share and the city of Vienna 25%. And managers of this new development company are the art historian Dieter Bogner and the law and real estate manager Günther Bischoff. So, and while the Museums Quarter Company was established, the protests against the project started immediately. This committee is opposed to any contemporary architectural building planned in the center of Vienna. More or less the same people were against the Haushaus from Hans Holland and a lot of other projects in the center of Vienna. And they called, they said, let's keep all the cultural uses, we don't need it. The history of the existing building is so important, let's keep in horses again and make again a horse museum out of these former imperial stables. And from now on, the political and public fight around the project starts and will continue from 1990 to 1995, 5 years of discussion. And Hans Dichand, you remember, with his Kronenzeitung, are guiding and leading the campaign against the project. So that's the kind of advertising against it. None of these montages are respect and the reality. So that's all Kronenzeitung's articles and others. So the slogan was very clear, why don't reuse only the existing buildings, why do you put new buildings in there? And it's enough to have a Leopold Museum there and nothing else. And so that was the common sense of the protest. But the aim of the company and Dieter Bogner and Busek was to bring in here more contemporary culture and art in the new museum squadron. But Hans Dichand was only interested in getting his big Leopold Museum and not to be seen contemporary architecture. So in this year, five years of discussion, permanently react on the changes of the program with uncountable new proposals. So it needs a special research to find out in where the buildings and the functions on the site were traveling over these years. In 94, has become clear that the Leopold Collection will take up a significant part of the new museum's quarter and got his own building, and that the proposal for contemporary initiatives will not be taken anymore into consideration. So Dieter Bogner resigned as a manager for the museum's quarter. So in 95, the projects come to an end. The Reading Tower was skipped, the Media Forum also, but both got no political support. And at the end, also Minister Busek was deposed by the campaign of the Kronenzeitung. So the cultural focus and intentions of the Museums Quarter project have shifted anew, and for the first time, the future utilities are settled definitely. In accordance with this new program, Ortner and Erdner, together with the architect and monument protector expert Manfred Wedern, who joined the project in 1995, drew up a completely revised project plan that meets the ever more precisely formulated demands of monument protection and the expectations of the Kronenzeitung. And let's go through the final project now. Here is now the Museum of Contemporary Art is coming on the right side now. Leopold is becoming his own big museum. And in the middle is the restored Riding Hall. And the contemporary art hall is behind the restored Riding Hall. And in the Riding Hall is a kind of two event spaces for theater and other events. So that's the final proposal. Here you see the aim of the mostly nothing should be seen from outside. And that is the concept of the Museum of Modern Art. It's a kind of conceptual idea, this black stone, more or less, and the white villa for the Leopold collection. And here the brick construction for the brick image for the Kunsthalle, for the art hall. This is now the... Yeah, and what was the result also of this discussion, that the whole buildings were skipped down into the earth, so the entry level of the Museum of Modern Art is in the middle of the building. So what you see up here is in the same dimensions going down into the soil. So that's why we have such a dramatic staircase in the inside. And that are these connections with the existing riding, the old riding hall in the middle. So, this is now the entry for the event space and also for the art hall on the backside of the historic riding hall. That's the interior of this event space. So also this space was digged out of the ground. And this is the one of the exhibition spaces of the Kunsthalle. This is, and now a lot of other cultural institutions are settled in the old part of the site. So the Architekturzentrum Wien, that was Emperor Sisi's pony riding hall, and it's now the library of the architectural center. And that's a piece of foreign architecture, the restaurant of the architectural center by French architects Lacadon and Vassal. And that's a children's theater, Jean-Vivien, and that's the plan of the realized situation as it works now. So the museum's quarter over the last years, since the opening in 2001, is really becoming a hotspot of the cultural life in Vienna and for tourists also. So the institutions which are finally on site is now the Museum of Modern Art, the Leopold Museum, the Kunsthalle Wien, and a dance quarter, a big one, and a children's museum, and a children's theater, and a kind of children's info point where they get a lot of information about the offering for children in Vienna, and the architectural center in Vienna, and this event space, different two halls for different events, and some independent, a lot of independent cultural offices. So what's the conclusion? What you can see and experience at the Vienna Museums Quarter today is the result of a lot of dispersed cultural and political powers without any clear program. You can see the fight for the historic city against any new and contemporary interventions. And you can see the power of mass media and the yellow press and the personal interests of a publisher. At the end of the debate, in the end of the end of the battle of the on the Museumsquarter was under construction, was started to be under construction, I met Hans Dichand and asked him, will you stop now your campaign against the project? And he answered to me, yes, because all my interests are now fulfilled. They are following my guidelines. Hans Dichand died in 2010. And at the big opening of the museum's quarter in 2001, no one of the politicians which were in charge from the start of the project was in charge anymore. So the chancellor of the government in this time, the minister of culture of this time, the mayor of the city of Vienna gave their speeches. No one of them was responsible for the realization of the project at the beginning. In the very last moment, they allowed the architects to be present a few moments at the opening. But the only politician who took the responsibility for the realization, Erhard Busek, was not even invited to the opening. So that's the role of politics, mass media, and what architects can do between all these interests.
Thank you.